Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jill.
Well,
how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. It's been an interesting 24, 48 hours, and it's been making me think about blindsiding.
Yeah.
Which is something that has happened to all of us. I don't think very many of us like it a lot when it does happen. It's maybe an effective tactic from the perspective of the person who's doing the blindsiding, but it's not a very polite thing to do, I think. And it can have all kinds of repercussions later. So I've been hearing the word blindsiding in the news a lot for the past couple of days, first with the president's decision to take out, as he says, a military commander of another sovereign nation on whom we had not declared war yet. And then yesterday with what a lot of people are calling Megxit, when the Duke and Duchess of Sussex announced that they would be stepping back from their roles as, quote, senior royals, unquote, to put a little distance between them and the royal family and to concentrate on what they felt like they needed to do. And the word was they had not notified the Queen ahead of time that they were going to do this. And there may be some purpose to that, I don't know. But I've been watching social media, and while a number of people said, good on them, you know, they should go have their lives, they should stop putting up with all this stuff that they're having to put up with in terms of sniping, criticism, and outright racism, really, from a lot of the outside world in Britain. But, you know, the Queen's his grandmother. She's not just the Queen, she's his grandmother. She's also the head of the family, and she's the person who makes decisions about stuff like this. So not notifying her seemed to be a way of announcing, we're going to do it whether you want us to or not, which is pretty much what has happened. People do it to their parents all the time, sometimes to their teachers. I was in an office once when I opened up an email and it was an announcement that someone had been hired for a job that nobody knew was open, and the person who was currently in the job had not been told. It just went out all over everywhere. And the talk wasn't so much about the person who had been hired, but wow, that was a really crap thing to do to the person who had the job, even if you didn't like him, even if you thought somebody else could do the job better, you owe him the courtesy of prior notification.
And that's the word right there. It's courtesy, because it's so discourteous not to. And I just,
yeah.
I have been watching with horror, actually, Megxit, because it was so ham-fisted. And what I have finally mined just in the last very short while is a nugget which shows how, and I'll tell you in a minute, but it's still no excuse. So apparently they were, as you know, there have been press issues with them from the very start. And apparently, a tabloid was, they found out that, I think it was The Sun, I'm not positive, was going to print this story. So they went ahead, this is totally wrong, and announced, put it out there so that they would be ahead of it. And this is where social media warps the mind, because that probably was that has now put them in a position where the Pandora's box is open and everything's flying around now. And it's very, very hard when you are in the midst, particularly if it's an ongoing issue, to take a moment and be sufficiently deliberate and decide whether what you're about to do is going to work. But I think that that would be a better, that would be a better way to approach these things, no?
Well, I think a lot of people weren't necessarily gobsmacked about this because there was some thought that some sort of de-escalation or stepping back was going to occur. They had this long vacation or break, whatever. They'd done some other things. And it looked like, you know, okay, we just can't do this anymore. We're going to step back a little bit. So I think royal watchers have been saying for a while, this looks like where this could be heading. We don't know, but we think it's possible. But it's different for us to speculate and for them to announce. And I suspect that maybe what they were thinking is, what's worse, for our families to open the newspaper and see this news from a media outlet we consider for all intents and purposes to be hostile to us, that doesn't report on us fairly, or for us to say, this is what we're going to do? I don't think it was a great set of choices they had anyway. And either way it went down, there were going to be ramifications. But I think it's hard when you hurt your family and your family's in the public eye.
Yes, I happen to agree. But isn't that also true of, I don't know, isn't that also true of all sorts of celebrities versus just how people manage things? I saw somebody recently announce a bereavement, just like literally via email. And I was so taken aback because I'm still sufficiently old school that I don't, if I've got some bad news for somebody, I don't leave it on their voicemail, you know?
I've seen people do it on social media.
Yeah.
So, just wanted anybody who cares to know that, you know, my dad died yesterday, and so I'm going to be off of here for a while dealing with, you know, all the details you have to deal with when someone dies. For some people, it's great comfort. They get a lot of supportive response, you know, so sorry, we're sending prayers your way, you know, we know you loved your dad, that kind of stuff. And for some people, it's just a really expeditious way to deal with, I have, you know, 80 people to call and no time, and I don't want to make 80 calls saying, hi, my dad died, and so this is one way of doing it. I mean, I see why people do it. I don't like it, but I see why people do it, and I see the response that they get. And so there may be some positive purpose to that. I don't think that they're putting this on social media so their siblings and their aunts and uncles will, you know, discover this. I think it's sort of friends and friends of friends and that sort of thing to put it out. I think the people closest to you, you still owe some sort of notification, but not everybody feels that way.
So I understand that. I would love to know who's going to be the arbiter for that. I still think there's room for arbitration on this one.
On a lot of things, you know, there may not be room for arbitration, but it makes it harder to do any kind of arbitration, any kind of situation that people will feel better about if it has to be done in public. Or if it has to be done before people who have no stake in this one way or the other. I mean, who am I? It's not like it matters one way or the other what I think when it comes to the goings-on of the royal family. I have a bigger stake in the goings-on of U.S.-Iranian relationships. But I just, I don't know. I think when you block people off like that, then they have to get more radical about their responses. in part because they don't want to look foolish, and in part because they feel like, well, you know, you started at DEF CON, whatever it is, and you've gone up to DEF CON bigger than that. I guess I have to respond in kind.
I just wonder, is that so? I mean, is there not tactical benefit to not necessarily responding in kind? I've just always been a, you know, because otherwise you just basically have a, you know.
There is, but it takes a person who can exercise great restraint, and I don't know how restrained people are feeling these days.
Yeah, well, absolutely, but that doesn't necessarily make it okay.
There's a lot of things that aren't okay that go on in the world.
Right.
And that we have no control over. But I think what we can do when we're in this kind of situation, because it always comes back to us, right, is to take a deep breath, think for a minute, and maybe be able to think, okay, 5 years from now, will people still be talking about this? Will they still be paying attention to it? If I react in a restrained way, will people still be paying attention to it if I, you know, come out with guns blazing? What do I want from this? Sometimes, you know, that two-minute pause, that five-minute pause is an important thing.
And if... Even, you know, even if you ultimately decide to go forward with guns blazing, I don't know that the 2 minutes, I'm not talking about in the literal heat of battle where you don't have that time, but for something
right.
like this, it just seems like that 2 minutes can, or that 2 to 5 minutes can be the difference between how you unspool something. Basically, you having control over your narrative or not.
Yeah, and to help people react to how you've done that, I remember a person who walked in one night, you know, while his wife was having tea in the kitchen, saying, so I think this isn't working anymore, we need to get a divorce. Boom, like that. She had no idea it was coming, had no idea any of this was happening. And so when it came to negotiation, you know, who gets what happens where, he just figured, well, you know, I made most of the money, and so I'll give you some, and I'll keep the rest. And she's like, oh, no, I met you when you had nothing. I helped you build this up. You did make most of the money, but you wouldn't have made it without me. And she made out quite handsomely, and I think she wouldn't have had as much interest in doing that had he been respectful to her and just, you know, even if he'd said, I've been deeply unhappy for a while, I'm not sure whether or not you are, but I think the time has come for us to talk about dissolving this. But just, yeah, I'm divorcing you, and so, you know, talk to my lawyers. That was not going to end well for him, and it didn't.
And did anyone faint with surprise?
I'm sorry?
I said, did anyone faint with surprise when it didn't end well?
No, because they just thought it was churlish of him to have presented this the way he had, which is not the first man in the world to have done this, as we know. But he could have softened the blow. He could have said, look, you know, you've been a great mother to the kids. I'm going to make sure that you have the wherewithal to continue to do that. It was just, no, you know, I want a divorce and talk to my lawyers because I don't want to deal with the money stuff. So she did, and her lawyers were as good as, if not better than his lawyers. And the money stuff got figured out, although not to his satisfaction. And I think that had he approached things differently, had he not blindsided her with this, there would have been a different outcome. They still would have been divorced, but there would have been a different outcome in terms of how they felt about walking away or being made to walk away from this situation. Oops, that's my little meeting notice, sorry. So it would have been different about how they felt about walking away from this situation.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
You're You're welcome.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.